your average in other cities? Do you have any sense of the statewide?
I think actually we're probably a little better than most.
So, but
from what I understand.
I see.
So, you know, but again, you got to ask yourself, to me, you got to look at your demographics as a critical first step. How many people do we have here that can afford?
Better than most, but most are pretty bad, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and so then we have spent our lifetime in this community building single-family residential homes with an average price right now of over $500,000. And so, in fact, I was walking yesterday out in the circles and ran across a couple who had just bought a one-bedroom, one-bath house, tore it all down except for the front wall so they could get around some of the planning stuff, put in a two-bedroom and one-bath, and had invested over $600,000 in this property. That's not affordable. The kind of units we need, I think, are more SROs, more apartments, more multifamily units. That's what we need to be building,
but
that's going to help our affordability more than some of this other stuff that they're doing.
Well, you pointed out that in the last 10 years, there's been, what has happened with the county in terms of affordable housing? Give us a description of what the...
Well, on the one side, if you make $72 an hour, you can afford to buy one of the 125 homes that the county allowed to be built over the last 10 years with an average price of $880,000. On the other side, when you look at the amount of government-financed affordable housing, we've gone backwards, not forwards. We've lost over 1,192 units. So this is the county's track record.
What's
a good one.
What's coming up in the next week that we should know about, Mike, that people, we're Board of Supervisors hearing, we're talking about with these, at least one of the affordable housing concerns is going to be brought up, though, if the Sentinel is wrong, 9 o'clock, and I guess whenever after 9 o'clock it happens, on the fifth floor of the county building at 701 Ocean Street. What else?
Well, other than some forums that we've got happening next week, that's about all it is.
What forums are those?
Well, we have the Sir Optimus is hosting a forum on Wednesday at Peachwood, and then the Sheriff's Deputies Association is hosting a forum at their place up there north of the graveyard on Ocean Street Extension on Thursday night, and then Friday the Business Council is hosting their forum at the new Granite Rock headquarters in Watsonville.
Now these are forums, of course, for the three supervisors.
A week from Friday. This Saturday we've got the KSCO radio forum for 2 hours from 10 to 12 on one of your competitor stations.
No
on the
problem.
AM dial.
We don't even bother them. They're too loud and they broadcast to too many people. We're not interested. but you're talking about forums that have to do with your supervisorial race?
Yeah.
So this is your political aspirations here. Are you going to be talking about affordable housing in these forums?
Oh, I'm sure we always do. The questions always come up.
And so the homeless issues again. So run these three forums by me, when they're going to be and where.
Okay, we've got the Sir Optimus at Peachwood on Wednesday.
Address?
Where Peachwood is up here at off of Highway 17. I can't think of the name of the place.
And what time?
At noon.
Okay.
Then you've got
open to the public.
I imagine that you should contact the Sir Optimus Association to see what their policy is. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. You'll demand
for their members anyway.
You'll demand the public be let in, right? Part of your open access.
Well, as long as you're willing to pay for the lunch, I'm sure they're
at
they're
Peachwood. Never
Peachwood.
Mind. What else we got here?
Then we got the Deputy Sheriff's Association Forum this Thursday night at 6:30. And
you have to check your gun at the door, or
you may
get strip searched,
or you know, leave your Uzi at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturday from 10 until noon on KSCO Radio, are the three that I know of coming up.
And you can, of course, call in there and get cut off. Of course, at least you'll be able to call in. We've been talking straight for an hour without letting anybody call in.
Well, you should let your guests call in. Well, how come you're not doing that?
It may be time.
Okay.
I should let you know, though, that my co-host here, or my sometime guest, Jeff wants you to know that he's interested in the retaliatory eviction issue. He's going to ask, I'll let him pose the question to you briefly, because I'm not entirely sure what he's talking about.
Again, Mike.
Okay.
I'm sure seasoned housing activists already know, but myself being relatively new in town, although I was born here on Monterey Bay, I would like a little clarification, because I think a lot of our listeners may not fully understand the laws on retaliatory eviction. And I realize, of course, you're not an attorney and no one's going to hold you to that standard. But basically, in most jurisdictions, it's my understanding that if you file an actual bona fide complaint with a public agency, such as the, you know, no heat in the winter, or, you know, rat-infested basement, or some of the other typical you know, problematic landlord behaviors, okay? You are protected by a retaliatory eviction statute, which says that the landlord cannot terminate your lease and say get out. As long as you're paying the rent, they can't, even if they have a legal right to just say scram, which many landlords do in many circumstances. So how does that work in Santa Cruz?
Frankly, I'm not for certain, to be quite honest with you. I really don't know.
So maybe we folks need to do some research on the internet, look at the statute. But that is going to be on the upcoming agenda?
It's my understanding.
So and all of our listeners out there who are tenants probably need to get on the internet and find that, or somehow find out or talk to their more knowledgeable local sources and find out what's going on and turn out perhaps to push for that. Okay, Mike, so enough said.
Okay.
Hey, Michael, before you leave, I guess we'll be seeing you hopefully at the Wednesday morning Huff meeting, or you'll be out of town?
We're leaving this evening and won't be back until Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, so it's kind of iffy.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll see you at Baker's Square at 8:30 in the morning to, you know, greet the many people who want to see you in person.
Sounds good.
And talk to you about homeless issues.
Good. Go for it.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Michael Schmidt. I'm Robert Norris. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We're a little bit after 11 o'clock here, and our call-in number is 427-3772. Lines are open. That's O-P-E-N, open. So jump on the phones if you want to talk about anything you've heard. I know it's been a long time, and it'd be nice if we had some lines that were accessible at the same time, or if we could have gotten Michael Schmidt in the studio to talk with us. But he's on the road, as you heard, in the middle of a family emergency, heading north to be at the bedside of a grandchild, and still found time to talk about issues that I think concern a lot of us, and I'm glad he took that time. Maybe you can take a little time out and give us a sense of what you're thinking. Well, here's a call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, Robert Norris?
Yes, sir.
This is Glenn Ravenold. I think you know who I am.
Hey, Glenn.
Hello, I'm calling from the mental health unit at the Dominican Hospital.
Uh-oh. Are you being held against your will?
Yes, I am.
Uh-oh. Well, you haven't probably been listening to us then. We've been talking about affordable housing, but let's switch gears. Glenn, what's the deal? Poison 1,000 people or beat up a police officer? What happened?
Well, actually, it was a follow-up on a camping citation issued by Officer Seeley.
Oh, no.
2 days later, he tracked me onto the tracks and asked me to kneel down.
Mm-hmm.
And made a phone call and asked me to walk back where I'd come from, approximately, and asked me to go into an alleyway there, and proceeded to ask me questions that didn't make much sense. Hello?
Still here.
And basically...
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to get a good connection here. This phone is really iffy today.
Sure, no problem.
Proceeded to try to get me on a, well, he proceeded to fill out a 5150, or said I was not under arrest when the other officers arrived, and filled out a 5150.
5150, of course, for those who don't know, is a mandatory 72-hour hold in a psych ward where you can be forcibly medicated, you can be held against your will, you are, and then the standard currently for that is danger to self, danger to others, or gravely disabled. Which of those three did they claim you were?
Well, initially it was supposed to. They actually stated that it would be an overnight kind of crisis watch or something like that.
Did you request to go to this unit?
No, I did not.
Did you request to be released?
Yes, I did.
And
I requested throughout. Now, what's moving rather smoothly. Now, this is. Let's see. I tend to adapt very well to law, and it appears as though under current conditions, during the 72 hours, the staff does not have the option of denying the reason for which I was brought in.
Well,
however, subsequent to the 72 hours, now that may be playing along, but it's likely to work. If I was allowed to fill out a writ of habeas corpus,
mm-hmm.
To question, because I believe I should be released,
mm-hmm.
and that I believe is almost in the space between a 72-hour hold and the additional 14.
Let me interrupt you for a minute, Glenn. I'll ask you, what was the basis which they were holding you? Danger to self, danger to others, or gravely disabled?
Danger to myself and danger to others.
Okay, and this was done in the testimony of Officer Seeley?
Correct.
And this was done after he found you at a campsite?
I just left the premises of HCRC, Homeless Community Resource Center, and had talked briefly with Derek and an Argentine friend of mine, and was just walking to go back to my campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And he came on to me. Now,
Now, did he claim that
he came out to get me?
Did he claim that your behavior in the Homeless Services Center was?
Yes.
And
yes.
What exactly about your behavior did he object
to? I can read. Oh, I can't actually read it because I have to hold this cord in exact position. But he basically said that I was trying to punch an employee because they were infected with anthrax. And no such event occurred whatsoever. There was no harsh words even during the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not with that organization. And the other, whatever, the one little tiny one there was wasn't anywhere close. It was half a mile away.
Well, I know that you and I disagree on your theories about anthrax and so forth, but that should be no basis for incarcerating you against your will, I would think, you know, or for regarding you as being a danger to yourself or a danger to others. So you've been held since when?
Since Tuesday.
Yeah, that's 5 days.
Yesterday, on Friday, the end of the 72 hours completed, I did have them on a technicality, but the Handbook of Mental Rights that I've provided here specifies that technicality does count, that I have the right to be released.
Yeah.
If I was not informed of the additional 14 days within the 72 hours, and I, of course, purposely sat there quietly, having read that, and waited till the 72 hours had expired before bringing that to their attention, they proceeded to pretty much ignore that and go on to the ongoing 14-day detention. Hello?
Still here.
Okay. And this cord is really...
No problem.
There's a phone repair.
Now, what about the advocate, the psychiatric advocate who's supposed to be defending you?
Actually, that is even worse. I mean, I don't even think they would have held me past 72 hours had I not taken the advice of one of the other people here and contacted the...
George.
Contacted, and there's another person, Davey, there. Mm-hmm. If I not contacted them, they probably would have released me as they did the previous time.
You mean he recommended you be held longer?
Well, it's just that he's an employee of the county as well, as far as I know.
Say that? Yeah, he is an employee, but what was the consequence of, I mean, let me ask, I'm sorry, getting a little bit distorted here. Let me ask if, were you forcibly medicated?
Yes, I was. I had a capacity hearing yesterday in which they determined that I did not have the capacity to refuse antipsychotic drugs, and it had to be the day before yesterday, since it's been two nights since I've taken it for two nights.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, hold on. So yeah, I was forced to take antipsychotics. At the risk of being injected with them, if not, and of course I don't, you know, trust the what's how it being an injection.
What antipsychotic drug are they forcing on you?
Hold on a sec. Okay. Hello.
Yeah. What antipsychotic drug are they forcing on you?
Zyprexa.
And how much? What dose?
The normal dose. I'm quite sure. I didn't.
Is it interfering with your?
Okay.
You sound.
You know, the reason I was.
You sound pretty coherent.
The really fast reason I was. Said I did not have the capacity is that I had not read the I purposely not read the material on the drugs because I, you know.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a connection here.
Yeah. We can hear you. We have at no time have we not heard you. Go ahead.
Yeah, except in the other direction.
It's hard to hear me. Yeah.
The line is going out over here.
Okay.
They'll fix it. I mean, eventually.
Well, right. Well, let me ask you this. So you've been taking Zyprexa for. Couple of nights, has it interfered with your ability to think or write? Or
that's what I was concerned about, and that's one of my biggest fears, of course. But it turned out not to be too serious, except that I wake up groggy. You know, it's not not a good sleeping pill, and you have to give it to you at night. You know, and I since I live outdoors, I have the tendency to go to sleep early.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's like a sleeping pill, but you wake up. And pretty
are you looking for visitors on the ward?
Well, I certainly appreciate the visitors, sir. I've changed that category because I didn't like visitors because it also includes what they can do with your record, and last time they'd shot it down to the Emmeline hospital when I applied to get antiparasitic medicine for my intestines, and you know, they broke into my campsite the same day. That was the first breakage of my campsite. I think I brought this up to you one time.
Tell me about this.
And it looks like, and they've proceeded to go through an cumulative process of detaining me and harassing me. Related mostly on camping now, but that was not the original 5150 I was brought in October.
Now let's go back. So this is your second stay in Dominican in the last 6 months?
Yeah.
And what happened the first time?
The first time I was on campus at the health center. Let's see if I can get this cord right.
I can hear you.
Okay. That was, I was actually invited into the back room to discuss the matter further, upon which two police officers came in after a while, which was quite a surprise to me. They did not indicate that they had contacted one, but yet I had been invited into that back room for some, you know, for saying, well, it's more comfortable, we have this is a more public place.
let me understand this. You were on campus. What was your what was your purpose in being there?
Well,
I'm still here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I had been at the base of campus at kind of the public works area, concerned about the dead body that was reeking at the bottom of campus down near the Interim Park area where there's that sewage treatment runoff.
Now, is this a body that the police and has acknowledged existed? I mean, was there a newspaper report on it or a police?
I don't think so, but I thought it was an animal body at the time. Because I only found out it was a human body after the reek stopped and
How did you find that out?
Because I had walked up on the bike side of the road on the right side, and as you climb the hill a little bit, it directly overlooks the spot at which. Hello.
You're still here.
It overlooks the spot at which the body was, and I had walked up. I was able to.
Still here.
Get this cord right. Hold on.
Yeah, no problem. We still hear you.
Oops.
Go ahead.
Okay.
So now, where did you discover this body?
Well, I don't know the exact name of the street there.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Bay Street.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down from campus about three blocks, and there's that median wooded area.
Mm-hmm.
If you come up from the bottom of that that wooded area,
right.
And you're going towards campus, it's on the left-hand side of the dual lane there, all the way to the left.
Now, was this a person that was, was there a recognizable human individual?
Well, found out as a person, to me it was one of two people. It turned out to be neither one of those because I've seen both of them since. And yet the other person whom it kind of should have been was not around during that period.
Now, how did you determine the person was dead?
Well, the sleeping bag, after their body reeked, stopped reeking,
mm-hmm.
There was still a sleeping bag that looked full with something from top to bottom at the location
So are we talking about, like, you came upon the body and the body was there, or you came upon a place where you thought a body had been there?
Well, no, because the body had finished reeking, and the air was quiet.
When you say it finished reeking, you mean there was a body there, but it didn't smell as bad as it might?
Right, it didn't smell. I couldn't smell at all from where I was. Previously, you couldn't even come up the opposite side of the road, and it was really bad. You couldn't even come up the opposite side without taking a chance. And I did get a bacillus infection from that body.
And was that the reason you went on campus to talk to the health facility?
Yes, that was the purpose.
And they thought you.
It was actually not to get mad at them or anything. I had something that could control the intestinal symptoms to.
You were concerned this was a contagious situation, right?
Well, no, I was concerned more about. I've seen a lot of students fasting and drinking coffee to maintain their health,
mm-hmm.
but they looked in an extreme amount of pain, and I also guess that there are relatively few students that have the willpower to do that. So I was hoping to ameliorate the amount of pain involved. And for some reason, altruism was considered a mental disorder, altruism being the emotion of wanting to help other people.
Well, it sounds like you have a perception of the world that is considered to be at variance with that of other people, namely viewing other people as being in pain for fasting and so forth, which I don't, for example, but that doesn't mean you're wrong or your perception is necessarily, worse than mine. It's just yours. The question to me is, why would the health services have decided that, because you have a different view, which they don't no doubt call paranoid and delusional, they would have you held against your will? Now, you say you were then taken into a back room or invited into a back room and then 5150'd? Is that the deal?
I was arrested on a 5150,
right.
Danger to myself, danger to others, based on smelling the bodies of dead animals. Now, one's olfactory nerves. I mean, I've smelled seven since. I don't understand how they can claim that my olfactory nerves are off. I would think that would be a plus. I've got pus in my ear, and one of the things I said at the health office up there was, if I'm accused of having a mental disorder, how is it that my pus in my ear? When you have an infection, of course, I did treat with an antibiotic, but then that's a subsequent infection.
Right, you're trying to engage in some kind of scientific, evidence here on this.
Hold
but
on a sec.
Yeah.
So,
how long
did the gloss right over that point?
Rather than go into that argument or discussion, how long were you held?
That time, only 2 days, 2 out of 3. I was not only good behavior; I wanted to be able to.
Yeah.
I had an order of food going to the food co-op on campus. It's the only other time I've been up there. I was at Public Works, the health co-op one time, and the health department, the health clinic up there. Those are the only three locations I've ever been up there, and I know that there are a lot of street people that go up there for a lot less decent reasons and do not receive this kind of treatment.
Now, you were held for less than 72 hours. Did they forcibly medicate you that time?
No, in fact, they were moderately accepting of all points I made about my lifestyle. In other words, I was taking care of myself.
When you returned, however, 4 months later, or when they returned you 2 or 3 months later, actually, and on Tuesday...
12 or 13 weeks later.
Yeah, that was on Tuesday. Did they know you, and were you regarded as sort of, you know, maybe a more dangerous case, or...
Well, they proceeded to falsify more than they did the first time. They tended to try to pass it... let me get this...
Still here. Still here.
Apparently to try to pacify me. First I came in, they said I was on a 70... I wonder why aren't they able to verify that the intake was incorrect and release me once that information has been correlated. And they proceeded to say, well, you're on an overnight watch for crisis. And I said, well, that's technically okay because I don't have anything I need to do until tomorrow morning. So that's not going to hurt anything. There was a community meeting at HCRC on Wednesday, and as far as I know, that's a similar annual meeting that the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union has an annual member meeting, and it's a little serious for me, to miss that meeting.
So because of their involuntarily holding you, and you're not being held because you want to be there, right?
Certainly not.
You're not being are you being medicated against your will?
Yes, and I also was told that in my handbook of mental rights that they have the requirement to inform me that I'm eligible to stay for the extra 14.
Right, and they're violating they're technically violating if your reading is correct, that understanding. But
it may seem like the technicalities are not serious, but since they're not concerned about probable cause, certainly the technicalities that they themselves have to abide by are of significance.
So you've had your medication hearing on the hospital grounds, and they've denied you because you didn't know the ins and outs of the medication.
Right.
But and have you actually had a hearing before a judge on your writ of habeas corpus?
No, I just filed that yesterday because I found out that the administrative hearing that I was informed about did not have the content. I mean that it did not have the content of what was stated to me because I talked to my father on that, and he told me what it was stated to them.
Are your parents, your relatives involved in any of this? I mean, are they sympathetic to your being in the hospital, or do they want to see you out?
Excuse me?
Are your relatives, do your relatives want to see you out or in?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Not yet, no. Let me just offer this cord to I can.
Yeah. Do your relatives want to see you in or out of the hospital? That's what I'm asking.
Well, my parents have at times considered me to have a mental dysfunction.
Right,
however, I've been diagnosed 3 times, and as far as I know, I've been cleared of it. It would be nice if they diagnose you for a mental disorder that they would tell you that you've been diagnosed with a mental disorder. To my knowledge, I've never been diagnosed with a mental disorder.
Yeah, I'm just... the reason I'm discussing this, and we're talking about it on air, so it's kind of... I'm going to have to kind of cut this pretty short, Glenn, but I'd be happy to... If you call the Huff line at 423-4833 and leave a message as to when your hearing is and when your visiting hours are...
Now, I have a pen on me, but this cord's going to go...
It's easy to remember. The number is 423-HUFF.
423, okay.
423 Huff, and it's also under the name Robert Norse in the phone book, so, you know, it's not too hard to remember. It is a voicemail, so you'll have to leave a message.
What did you want?
Leave a message as to what your, you know, when your hearing is, where it is, if you know, your visiting hours, and you should also tell the people at the desk, leave the name of...
Which desk here?
Of Robert Norse as an authorized visitor. And also leave your name and the spelling of your name on my machine.
All right.
And I assume they're holding you now because they think you are a danger to yourself, or is it a danger to others?
No, I think they're holding me now because they have determined that I need ongoing treatment.
Well, no, that's not a condition for holding you against your will. It has to be one of the 3 conditions. Which of the 3 have they told you are the basis for the 14-day hold? Disabled... Gravely disabled.
Oh, I see. Handbook of Mental Rights, that's what they're alleging.
Well, they can allege that all they want. It may or may not be true. It may or may not be true, but the question is, are you being held on danger to self, danger to others, or gravely disabled?
On the 14-day, that's the alleged one I'm being held on, but they have to...
Which of those 3?
Gravely disabled. But see, the 72 hours are over. This is the 14-day.
14, yeah. Which of the 14-day are they alleging? Which of those 3? Which of the 3?
Huh. It looks like it's gravely disabled.
Okay. Do you have a place to go? Because that's a key factor with the person who's camping. They can claim that you are too disabled to have a house or a place.
Right. Well, what I'm going to be doing anyway, so not to give off the ceiling any more loopholes, I'm going to be going to the armory.
Okay. Well, get back to me more on this, and if you want to conclude with something, do you think they have an ulterior? Do you think they have an ulterior motive in holding you? This is a bad question.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
My co-host wants to know if you think they have an ulterior motive for holding you.
It appears there is a conspiracy in this.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't listened at all to the original. That I'm saying that there was a completely false, trumped-up reason by which I was brought in, which it was. There was no incident that actually occurred.
I mean, the incident at the Homeless Services Center, they claimed that you had been violent or angry?
I understand the constraints. I'm pretty sure they're under constraints to call the police officer once I was there, because Derek had said that Officer Seeley had shown up that day to ask him about, or I should say, had called in asking about me, and that's what he'd stopped to talk to me about right before I went out on the tracks.
Which was
and
what?
I gave him some background as to what the incident actually was. And told him I'd talk to him tomorrow.
What was the incident, Glenn?
There was no incident.
Well, he claimed that there was an incident. What was his understanding of the incident?
I could read it to you, but let's see how I record it. Hold on a sec.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Glenn on the psych ward at Dominican, who's being held now for 5 days. Glenn has a worldview that I regard as somewhat paranoid, but that's no basis. I'm still here.
Hello?
Go ahead. Still here.
Okay, let me adjust this cord a little bit. There we go.
All right.
It says, this is, I don't know if this is paraphrased or exactly as it was. It says, the police were called to the homeless shelter because it was reported by staff at the homeless shelter. Hold on a second, let me see. This cord is really messed up.
It's okay, go ahead.
Police were called to the homeless shelter because it was reported by staff at the homeless shelter that you were trying to punch an employee because you thought they were infected with anthrax.
Gotcha. Yeah, you said that before, and now we've got it clear.
Yeah, that's
Glenn,
I'm reading that to you.
Right, I got you. Let's call it a morning on this call because we've got to get on to the next subject.
It's after 4 o'clock because the office hours are closed.
Right. No. I mean, let's call it.
After 4 o'clock.
Right. Yeah, it's after 4 o'clock. I'm talking about this particular conversation we're having right now. Let's put the information on the line. At some point, I'll certainly try to call you back. Leave the phone number of the pay phone as well. All that information gets out. In fact, if you want people to contact you on the ward, you can give your name and number publicly if you'd like.
Well, yeah, it's just a cord problem, but let's see. It's 476-9928.
476-9928, and we should ask for?
Glenn Ravenel.
Glenn Ravenel.
The only problem with it is that, you know, it doesn't ring real loud, so don't feel as though somebody's ignoring if it isn't picked up.
Right, and this is the Dominican Psych Ward mail section.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much, Glenn, and I hope we can, you know, I hope you can get out of there.
I had big hopes for your assistance in this.
Well, the only assistance you're getting at the moment is some publicity, but maybe that'll help.
Oh, everything helps. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was the unexpected additional 20-minute discussion with Glenn Ravenel, who actually was in the studio with me about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. He didn't do much talking, and as I said, I regard his viewpoint as paranoid and delusional in some matters, and not so much so in others. He seems to have a pretty coherent sense of what's happened to him in terms of how people are treating him in the world. He doesn't sound delusional at all in that regard. And if he has some eccentric views, that's his business. He shouldn't be held up in a psych ward, denied access to the community meetings that he wants to have access to, because well, of course, I haven't been to the Homeless Services Center. I haven't heard the other side of this. I haven't talked to the esteemed Officer Seeley, and, you know, that is true. I don't know. In this particular case, I haven't heard the other side of it. But from what you and I have heard, this individual does not sound like he's unable to take care of his own needs. He's being held on a pretext. He's being denied basic liberties. And that's serious matter for people who are homeless. We now have another call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Free Radio. This is Amy and Cassandra.
Hey, have you been listening to our show?
No, we're out of range. We can't listen.
Okay, well, just let me orient the audience. This is Amy Courtney, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
and
that's the one.
Well, you are one of the key treason mongers of the area who saw an American flag and were so consumed with hatred that you put up a bed sheet next to it. I'm trying to give the devil's point of view here. Actually, you become a famous hero in the in the eyes of many for essentially getting Caltrain to enjoined by a federal court for. Essentially, they tore down, I guess the Scotts Valley Police first tore down, and then Caltrain continued this practice of letting only the patriotism as being the American flag, instead of questioning things like the bombing of Afghanistan, which you were trying to do, accessible to public view. Now, that's me talking. I want to let you talk. What's been happening?
Well, Tuesday, January 29th, we did get a ruling from the judge, and he said that indeed we were right, that our First Amendment rights were violated, that the Caltrans policy was unconstitutional, is unconstitutional, and that they need to come up with a new policy that is not unconstitutional, meaning that it won't discriminate based on content or viewpoint of what gets hung on the overpasses. And the judge made no ruling of how they need to go about that. He left it open for them to decide if they want to let everything be allowed to be hung, which until this point, everything but anti-war banners has been hanging. I mean, banners saying everything from God Bless Our Troops to USA to We Love You, Diane, have been hanging from overpasses for months now.
Diane, referring to Diane Feinstein, our very jingoistic, I'm sorry, patriot.
No, I think it was like a happy birthday thing, you know, somebody just hung something, you know, how that kind of thing happens. So
but
up until this point, that kind of stuff has been allowed, and it hasn't been a safety issue throughout the state. But now that anti-war or questioning banners want to go up, now it's too much of a hardship for Caltrans, and they're probably going to decide to just take everything down and point the finger at us and say it's our fault that the flags are coming down, which is not entirely accurate.
Now, is there a public process by which those who want to give input to Caltran on this issue can engage in? I mean, do they have any kind of, or is it simply a closed administrative process?
You mean if people have ideas for Caltrans about what they should do to
Resolve this? Is there any public input on before those regulations go into force or those
decisions?
Hey,
that's a great idea, Robert.
You got it, man.
Man, did you just come up with that one?
I am so brilliant, you wouldn't even know.
You're pretty freaking brilliant, man.
Well, thank you.
That idea. Okay, right now what I'm doing is I'm looking up the Department of Transportation number. Oh, geez. Transportation Department of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these folks would love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. If you call...
Or anyone else listening. I'm not going to guarantee I'm going to call on this issue, but somebody should.
Okay, there's a local number, 423-0396.
423-0396, that's Caltran.
There's also a 476-1351.
476-1351.
And then there's a maintenance station in San Jose, 408-436-0930. I'm sure there's a statewide number.
Perhaps you and your attorney might also find out what office would actually be the appropriate place to direct these complaints to. And then if you let us know in the next edition of this show, which is Thursday 6 to 8, or through the mainstream media, you know, CNN, I know, is now your media choice.
You know, at the door all the time.
Well, I've seen you waving your bedsheet banner on the steps of the county building with Skip and Channel 46 hotly taking in every word you have been giving out with Cassandra.
Chip.
Skip. He's a... I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It's Chip. So, before, let's... how much time you got?
Quite a bit, but Cassandra's also here, so maybe I'll pass the phone so that you can talk to her, too.
Sure.
Just on the calling, you know, I would... If people do want to call those numbers or any other, or even write a letter, it'd be great for people to say, hey, keep the forum open, just to have that message. Keep it open and let people express themselves. That's what the First Amendment's for, that kind of thing. So it may be like, no expression isn't free expression or something like that. So that's my thoughts on it. That's a great idea. I'm inspired by you, Robert.
I appreciate that, and I know that that we're going to try to drag you down to our little local concern about...
That's a bigger concern than bed sheets being taken down. People are being arrested.
Well, I see your concern about bed sheets as also being a concern about people dying in Afghanistan without any kind of public debate and input on that issue. And I think that that's happening every day, and that is not in the papers except as some sort of flashy video game war in Afghanistan nonsense.
Yeah.
War on terrorism, I'm sorry, is what they're doing.
Yep.
Of course, what they're really talking about is the terrorists warring on Afghanistan, and that's being done with our money, and the politicians are wrapping themselves in the holy flag, and it's really pretty horrible. And I think that your willingness to confront that issue and demand at least equal time in a public forum, where the public forum is, public property that's paid for with our taxpayer dollars is the right thing to do, and the fact that you found an attorney who could back you, hey, send him over to help us. He didn't seem too eager when I talked to him, but then again, he's a busy guy, as all these attorneys are. But yeah, I appreciate your showing. What I'm talking about when I talk about our cause, for those who just tuned in, the one that I'm concerned with immediately, I certainly support Amy Courtney here and Cassandra Brown and what they're doing in opening up the forum, which is flags on Caltrans overpasses are fine if you also want to allow alternate expressions of thought and view, as you know, that might show that this, you know, mindless patriotism is. Or I mean, I suppose you could have a Nazi flag on the other side. You want to go further to the right? I mean, I suppose that's another possibility. But the thing I'm concerned about downtown is that a whole bunch of people are going to be swept away by this privatization deal down at Sushi Now and New Leaf Market and Alibaba's Cafe, and that is something that actually is. There's been some violence against us, some direct assaults. There's been police have dragged us away. It's getting pretty heated down there. We're going to be talking about that more. And I appreciate your, you know, if you want to come down today, there's going to actually be a series of tables. My table, and I think somebody else's tables. They're coming down in solidarity to support, to show the right of to use the First Amendment on public sidewalks without being dragged off by the police department or harassed away by the host or threatened by thugs who happen to like Alibaba's Cafe, because that was what happened to me. I was this guy was literally threatened he was going to kill me, slugged this guy who stepped in between us, smashed the table that I was on, threw the literature all over the sidewalk. It was quite a scene, and he was eventually taken away by the police, but I don't know. The police did not ask me to sign a complaint, so I'm not quite sure what the status of the situation is. Whereas, and then some claim he wasn't even taken away in handcuffs, while I was taken away in handcuffs for tabling 2 days before. So, now I don't know. Others say he was taken away. There's some dispute on that, but the issue is very important.
You're clearly very dangerous there with all those
petitions.
Leaflets and yes, petitions.
But I think we need some of your bed sheets down there. Actually, bed sheets have been not just used by you to. And the bed sheet you had up on that overpass next to the American flag on Scotts Valley said what?
It said originally at what cost. That's the one that was next to the American flag. And then there was one the second time we finished our hanging, and there was one that preceded it that read, "Are you buying this war?" I'm going to actually pass the phone to Cassandra right now because I think she's got some good ideas about this downtown thing, and
Excellent.
Maybe you guys can talk about that.
Amy, before you go, just one last question. If people want to get more information on this issue, is there a website you have? I know the Good Times did a very long and interesting story on the issue a week and a half ago. And I guess people can try to tune into the Good Times website. That's the weekly newspaper in Santa Cruz, and it may be reprinted there or it may not. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's still on their website because I think that they go, you know, maybe they have back issues on there. But people can read some of the information about what's going on at www.thefirstamendment.org.
Mm-hmm.
And be sure to put the First Amendment, spell it all out, lowercase letters. FirstAmendment.org apparently is a porn site, so
Ooh.
The First Amendment is where you need to be.
And the First, not just First Amendment. Ooh.
Right, mm-hmm. And the order that the judge issued last Tuesday is posted there,
mm-hmm.
And also the Santa Cruz Indie Media site, santacruz.indiemedia.org. spelled with a Y.org,
mm-hmm.
also has been covering the issue really well, and I just checked it last night, and they have, up-to-date info
but
about
the
ruling.
Are there pictures of scantily clad maidens with the stars and stripes?
No, I think you have to go to FirstAmendment.org
for okay. Well, so maybe
that.
we should kind of, you know, mix the two sites.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Okay. All right.
So here's Ms. Brown. Thanks, Robert,
thanks,
for
Ms.
your tenacity.
Hey, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Actually, this is Condoleezza Rice, and we have a security issue on the New Leaf Market, and we're going to have to start playing some, like, really crazy music at you.
Maybe the Star-Spangled Banner would
help. The Star-Spangled Banner is coming at you because you obviously are unpatriotic. Move along and keep on shopping. Keep shopping.
There you go. I mean, I think that's the kind of message that we really need to communicate to Santa Cruzans of today.
That's right. Amy says, let's decide, walk. walk, not side table.
That's correct.
Just not side sit around and enjoy yourself. Keep walking, sidewalk.
Yeah, or spend a little. Or you could sit if the tables are, you know, if you're going to spend a little money, that seems appropriate.
Exactly. You can spend money. That's okay. But don't think about sitting around.
Well, you know, not if you're going to be among this group of people that is, you know, problematic.
Problematic, exactly.
Very problematic.
Well, you can't have problematic people, and especially if they're not spending very much money.
Well, I know, have you been down there? Have you actually seen the scene recently? Or
I saw it a couple days ago, yeah.
And were you harassed by some of those men there?
No, I have never been harassed by any of them.
Well, is that because, well, you weren't wearing, should we say, provocative enough clothing and enough makeup to make it harassable?
Or? I don't know, but we had a great conversation with one of those guys down there, giving us some vocabulary.
Really?
What were some of the vocabulary words we got?
Getting faded.
Oh, I'm getting faded. That's,
getting faded?
Yeah, do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
That's, drinking a little.
Uh-huh, okay.
And what was the other one? Yeah, everybody's kids, and then, something else.
So in essence, you're saying that this is some sort of educational workshop. What kind of nonsense are you trying to foist on the public here? This is a group of thugs, bums, harassers, and spitters. I mean, that's what the Sentinel tells us.
Yeah. I think that I'm sure that some of that has happened to some people, which is unfortunate. But I don't think that the way to do it is to kick them off the sidewalk. I think you need to use some mediation skills. I think that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. You know, actually, I did attempt to get, I wrote up a whole set of guidelines based on conversations to a large extent with Matisse Selman, who owns Sushi Now, and with Ali Ka, who owns Alibaba's Cafe,
mm-hmm.
in order to say what are your concerns about the youth or the folks who are here. Then I talked to the folks at the Planter and I said, what are your problems with these two businesses, if any? And I put out these two kind of elaborate, detailed set of, you know, possible guidelines on both sides. And
great.
But
perfect.
Strangely enough, though, Ali Ka and Matisse Selman never returned a single email.
You sent it to both of them.
I sent it to both of them. I gave Matisse a hard copy. I talked to Ali about it. I waited 2 weeks before doing any kind of call for a boycott of their businesses. And then I said, you know, these folks are not going to be seriously negotiating. They want to wait until the redevelopment agency puts up this brass railing that will move away all the people and set up their own tables and chairs, because it's already been passed by the city on January 8th, so they feel it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that's the situation at the present time.
Well, that's probably part of it. Maybe it's like a way to get, you know, no offense to the merchants out there that might be listening, but maybe it's a way to get more, you know, just easement or whatever, get that spot for themselves for their business,
mm-hmm.
then you're sort of set up business-wise. So it's, maybe it works for them, actually, because now they'll have a squared-off spot. Is that what's going to happen? I don't even realize what's going to happen.
What they're going to do is
square off with brass railings?
Yeah, what they're doing is, right now there are tables, little kind of green tables with white chairs around.
Right. Kind of like rickety things.
Right, around the kiosks. Now, I don't know exactly, but they may... What they're going to do, according to the redevelopment agency's January 8th diagram, and according to the Downtown Association, who I spoke to about this a couple days ago, they're going to put a railing in that will kind of enclose the area from the Planter about halfway out to the sidewalk in a kind of a brass, you know, area with a fence. That you can go through with a gate, presumably,
mm-hmm.
and the tables and chairs will be in there, and then you can go sit there, sort of like you do in front of Zoccoli's down at the foot of the mall, if you mean.
Right. So there's no place to sit if you can't pay for something.
Right. No place to sit if you can't pay for something in that area, and more important than that, or perhaps just as important, because of the downtown ordinances, which make it illegal to sit on the sidewalk 10 feet from any business. You won't be able to sit on the sidewalk anywhere at all in that area.
The whole thing is, like, what is public? What is public space? Like, mm-hmm. why? What is public space about? Is it about just offering a via so that you can get in, go in and spend your dollars? Or is it a place where you can congregate and commune with each other? Oh, no, that sounds like communist principles there.
Well, playing devil's advocate here, there are plenty of places on the mall you can go. Why are you causing trouble here? Why don't you just move along?
Well, there's just no place to sit still. That's the thing.
There are plenty of benches up and down the mall.
Yeah, go sit on the benches.
Yeah, and there's another Planter.
How about we dig up the Pacific Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and make those gardens and make it a huge peace park all along
Now,
there.
Is this a terrorist threat you're making, Cassandra? officer?
I think that
over here.
More people would be attracted to the area. In fact, in other cities, they've done that. They've, you know, blocked off their main streets to traffic, and the merchants have said, yes, they make more money. And in fact, they could probably have more kiosks and such not, and people could make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a place for people to walk and sit,
mm-hmm.
and more people would come, more people would spend money.
Now, are you suggesting people should do this in terms of direct action? Are you suggesting that we should wait and present such a proposal to a city commission?
What I think the best strategy, but I am working with the strategist on high here, so I think you probably have better ideas, but my amateur idea would be to first draft up a really great strategy and have, like, you know, maybe some plans of what it could look like and where the Peace Park could go all the way down the middle of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
not a traffic circle for the Peace Park. That's not enough for a Peace Park.
Mm-hmm.
And then even have some information from other cities and just make it look, you know, pretty slick, as slick as we can. Give it to the city council and then do our direct action.
Uh-huh. Because you know that there's been this stuff about a plaza brooding about all the last decade.
Uh-huh.
And they've essentially, you know, they had 4 votes on the city council for a plaza, including Catherine Byers.
Uh-huh.
And they probably have 5 votes for eminent domaining Rittenhouse's, you know, hole in the ground down on across from the Cinema 9 Theater, one of the places where they're talking about doing the plaza.
Uh-huh.
But they're afraid to bring it up. You know, people
they don't want any riffraff showing up.
And they don't want any riffraff showing up. So, I mean, I think...
Well, the thing is yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I think it's a great idea. I remind you, though, that the way People's Park, which still exists, got started was not because they went to the city and made requests, but because they tore down the fence and they tore up the blacktop and they planted trees and they just did it.
Uh-huh.
And then when the city fenced it off, they tore down the fence again and they went there and they continued to support.
And a couple of people had to die for it, too.
And 2 people died when they called out the National Guard in 1969. Well, one died and one was blinded, yeah. And
yeah, well, let's not do that.
No, I don't suggest that we do that. On the other hand, I don't know how many people's lives have been saved by having People's Park.
Really? That's good.
You know, I mean, so you have to consider the other side of the cost, but
right.
Because there's places, when you allow people to gather, just like when you allow people to camp together, you save their lives, because they can do, there is more in, a group of people together is more than the sum of the individuals,
oh,
as you
that's
know.
True. That's like me and yeah. Amy. We wouldn't, I don't think we would have done what we did if we were by ourselves.
Correct. Even though, you know, you may be both great by yourselves,
yeah.
Together you're more than the two.
Part.
1 + 1 = 3 is the you know.
It's amazing. When you get together, it's powerful.
Which is always true, of course, when you create another child. But that's another story. We won't get into that.
Right.
This time.
Exactly. That's
another
topic.
Story. That's interesting. If you talk about what real
well,
math is about.
You don't think that the city would be like if we did at least. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to ask the city.
It wouldn't. But of course, I think that's a good idea. I think my immediate concern though is to make sure that this attempt to put in. To drive away a whole bunch of people in order to, essentially, I think it's to pretty up the area for the opening of the Del Mar Theater. That's one of my thoughts here.
Mm.
And to do so by smearing people as you go. Oh, they're dirty bums, they're spitters, they're drug sellers, they're harassing women, all this stuff. Some of which, you know, is true for individuals, but it's true anywhere up and down the mall. It's
mm-hmm.
not particularly true in this mm-hmm. particular place.
Well, I mean, it's the whole thing about what we just said about we are greater than the sum of our parts. The more people that are there, the more powerful they are.
Right.
I think the good thing about this, if you did connect it with the hippie planner situation for asking for the okay that you don't like us taking your sidewalk, well then we'd like the whole street,
mm-hmm.
and then you know the more you ask for, the more you get kind of thing.
I like it. I think I'd love to see you start organizing for it, and I'll join in.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
well,
I'll
talk to amongst my peoples.
I mean, there's actually going to be at 2 o'clock today downtown, as I may have mentioned to you, some other people are tabling down there just in solidarity. Not only have I been, you know, arrested and my companion, both of us dragged off in handcuffs for blocking the sidewalk, but we've also been told, I've been told that if I go into the host center, for example, to file a complaint, I'll be arrested. That's the Downtown Information Center next to the Del Mar Theater, from which they're blasting all this music out, this classical music to drive away the riffraff.
It's so 1984.
Isn't it? Yeah. Even though it's 2002.
I know.
You know, and then, of course, then there's violent attacks, which have happened recently, 2 days ago.
I heard that. Quite. They, some guy tried to attack you.
He completely lost it. He didn't really lose it. He was pretty lethal character. I was lucky that there was another fellow who just stepped in to defend me. And, mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, there are two women who were involved who will no longer have anything to do with the table because they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And this man said, "I'm a supporter of Alibaba. I'm a supporter of Alibaba's cafe."
So this is how I've been a supporter.
And when I went over to Alibaba and I said, "Ali, you know, you know what? This guy said he was doing it for you," and he said, and I quote, "That's beautiful, man."
Oh.
And I'm sure he thought better of it later, you know, because I don't think he's encouraging people to go out and be violent on his behalf.
No.
But the fact of the matter is that, you know, this whole thing is violence. When you remove a whole area of public space and say, if you go try to sit down there, we're going to call the police and arrest you and drag you off and put you in a jail system, that's violence.
Right, and that's the thing about this whole war situation is it makes people think that they can resolve issues through violence, and everyone knows that that's not the case. It just causes more problems. And that this issue here could be resolved through nonviolence, and in some ways, you know, this whole fencing it off is sort of a violent act.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, I agree with you, Cassandra, is that, you know, are you interested in, frankly, I'm interested in piggybacking on all this great media that you've gotten for, you know, your work on making sure that banners...
Free. There's free speech on every overpass.
Yeah, man. Everyone who owns an overpass can put up a... Well, actually, presumably anybody can put up a banner, or nobody can put up a banner. I guess
right.
That's how nice. I mean,
yeah.
It's
unfree now.
It's unfree now. So they've made it more unfree rather than less.
Right, exactly.
Which is, of course, and then they're going to blame you for it. But
we're the bad girls.
You are the bad. You are the bad, bedshidistas.
Bedshidistas.
Yes. The bedsheet bandistas.
That's right.
Are you interested in a some kind of a forum, maybe even a forum down at Hippie Planter, where you bring the banner, you talk about what you did, you talk about constitutional rights issues, or maybe having some kind of a... Others have suggested, who are friends of Ali Ka, for example, but who are sympathetic to street people. Sarah Phelan, who writes for the Metro.
Right, she's great.
She
really did us right.
She is great, but not on this issue. She's horrible
really?
On this issue.
What
yeah,
did she say?
She thinks that Ali is completely justified, that we are doing the wrong thing. We should be finding other places for young people downtown and seeking other venues.
Where?
She didn't propose any particular
place. Yeah,
there's
no other place. Like, okay, where can you sit, you know?
Right.
In a congregated... Well, that's the thing. They don't want you in big groups. They want you in threes or fours. Like, if you get to be, like, 15 or 20, that's too much.
You're a menace, man.
Yeah.
You're a clear menace.
maybe I'll discuss it with Amy, and we'll talk about maybe coming down. And, you know, Grant Wilson was talking about putting together a forum that's called Know Your Rights.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's with Art and Revolution. I remember a couple years ago he was giving out sleeping band tickets as an officer, just sort of a friendly mock police officer walking up and down, giving ordinary citizens
mm-hmm.
tickets, officer friendly or whatever he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's great. The problem we have, of course, is that there's a time constraint here in that those planter railings are going to go in probably within a couple of weeks, if not sooner.
And you think they're awful.
Well, let me put it this way, that, you know, they're no more awful than the railings that have gone in up the street, although they're awful in the sense that they drive away a specific scene, that this is a targeting of a particular group of people. Elsewhere, of course, they're destroying public space, too.
Well, and that's the other thing, is that so do the Alibaba and Sushi Now have to pay for that?
No, they don't.
But do they have to pay rent to the city for their kiosks?
They have to pay rent for the kiosks, but my understanding is they will not have to pay any more rent for this extra space they're getting.
How much is the railing costing us?
That I don't know. But I think it's about $2,000, I'm told. I'm guessing. I'm remembering vaguely. But the kiosks themselves cost $80,000, and according to Linda LeMaster, they were originally involved for startup businesses and nonprofits, not sort of as a sort of a colonization of the sidewalk a la, you know, Israelis and the West Bank
West
and that
Bank.
Sort of thing. You know, I mean, it was more like...
Settlement situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be... I mean, I have problems with merchants seizing the property on the sidewalks unless there is a real joint process where they have some kind of give and take
mm-hmm.
with the community there. And
yeah, well, you know, as far as direct
access... I don't see that happening.
the direct action for taking the street, I think we could connect with critical mass, the bicyclists, and all the other bicyclist activists who would love to have bicycles only on Pacific Avenue.
Right.
Who else would be interested in that, like opening up? Maybe the Green Belt people would like to just create a Green Belt right down the center of
Food Not Bombs.
Food Not Bombs.
Sure. I mean, I would, you know, I mean, of course, you probably should do outreach to the merchants and do outreach to see if you can find some sympathetic merchants and some sympathetic residents.
Mm-hmm. Number it would be, like, as far as progressive towns go, mm-hmm. it would be like Barcelona of the U.S. to have a nice plaza right down the center of town.
Well, I expect you to come and do some haranguing on this issue down at Hippie Planter.
Okay. Well,
and in the meantime, I expect you to boycott Sushi Now and boycott New Leaf Market.
That one's going to be hard for me, but I'll try and do it.
At least the downtown New Leaf Market. If you have to go to some other New Leaf Market,
okay,
if you need to. But go into the New Leaf Market downtown. I say this to everybody there and say, until you publicly come out in favor of public spaces like this sidewalk
mm-hmm.
and real public debate before such things are removed,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to spend money supporting you just because you're sitting there with, you know, keeping your mouth shut until this is all over,
mm-hmm.
and so you can then take over the next business and get a little better,
mm-hmm.
you know, scene because you don't like this stuff happening in front of, you know, New Leaf Market.
Right.
And the same is true with Ali Khan's place, Alibaba's Cafe.
I think an underlying issue here, I think you really hit it on the head, is that people don't want poor people around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just move the poor people out. They just don't want to see poor people.
That's true, and I think they're saying it's not a poverty issue, it's a behavior issue. You know, you got and also you'll hear Neil Coonerty and others, Crone, say it's a issue of a particular group of people colonizing the sidewalk. You have, you know, these people who don't move, and I have to acknowledge that a lot of the folks there are the same people, but I also feel that they are not hostile to others who come there
mm-hmm.
and sit there, and if people are paranoid to do that,
that's their own deal.
That is really their own deal. And I've talked to a couple of residents who live up the street at El Centro who are, you know, angry with me for doing this and shout, boycott Robert Norris as they walk
yes,
by.
Boycott.
But I say, boycott Sushi Now, boycott Alibaba's Cafe, boycott New
Leaf. What are you selling? How can you boycott you?
Well, I would prefer a girl cot rather than a boycott.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a sexual preference.
Yeah, of course.
You understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm... We're talking here with Cassandra Brown, who has won fame recently, and justifiably so.
And hoping for fortune anytime soon.
Fortune,
so,
yeah. Send your dollars.
P.O. box.
Yeah, send in your bucks. By the way, let me ask you this. Are you, I mean, you've won this small victory.
Right.
And it is only a small victory, but it's a real victory
mm-hmm.
In terms of getting the courts to say, you know, either everything or nothing on these overpasses. You can't just keep up the, you know, the swastika, I'm sorry, the American flag.
Exactly.
And you have to just, you have a variety.
Right, exactly.
But what's the next step in the anti-war movement? I know that after the last show when I talked about this issue, I'm concerned that there is no anti-war movement in Santa Cruz.
Right.
Other than your occasional folks who come out once a week and I don't do it, and I commend them for doing it, you know, putting up signs for a couple hours at a corner.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess a group called SCAR called me and said they're doing some anti-war stuff tomorrow, Monday, 7 p.m. at the Resource Center for Nonviolence.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage people to check in on that, although I've usually found it's the Resource Center for Inaction. But, you know...
Ooh, get them.
Amen.
Get them.
I hope I'm wrong. You know, I mean, I know Scott Kennedy hasn't introduced any resolution against the bombing. That's the co-founder of the Resource Center for Nonviolence.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't seen him doing too much in that regard. I mean, it's... Nothing is happening. What can we do, Cassandra?
Well, Amy and I have this idea. Should I tell them our idea about what we're going to do next? Mostly Amy's idea, which is brilliant, is that this civil liberties issue, I think, is something that we can all sort of capitalize on and sort of reaches out to a number of people. And we were thinking that it would be good to do a silent march. We haven't gotten it totally figured out, of course, but
mm-hmm.
a silent march to either Sam Farr's office or, I don't know, I was thinking maybe even just stay in Sam Farr's office and...
Wait a minute, get arrested in our representative's office?
Or Goodwill is the other place we were thinking about, is because Mike Attali is this guy in Goodwill who was fired from his job in Miami, and he's a socialist,
mm-hmm.
he was a socialist party candidate for the mayor race in Miami, and... the guy, the factory owner there, where they make, oddly enough, camouflage and American flags,
mm-hmm.
fired him because it was a bad, you know, because of his ideas.
Hmm. What ideas?
His socialist ideas and speaking out against the war.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, there's all kinds of, so we were thinking about going to the Goodwill, so, but we were thinking about acting or organizing or connecting on this whole civil...
How can people get in touch with you if they want to help you with any of these projects?
426-6515.
426-6515 to reach Amy Courtney and Cassandra Brown. 426-6515.
Well, and you know what else I think we can do about this anti-war movement? I think those peace signs on Friday night are great. And if you ever see Susan Zeman's email, she just tells it like it is. I don't know if anybody gets it, Peace on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But anything, you know, like, here we are, we were just putting on banners, and we're, like, suddenly into this, like, stream of going, like, it was bigger than, you know, just got really a lot bigger than we ever imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And so just get together with your buddy and go out and do something.
You're going on the Leno show and Oprah? What's going on, man?
Yeah, Oprah's next.
Oh, cool,
uh-huh,
man.
Larry King.
When's your book?
The book will be out in September.
And
the TV movie is going to be on January 12th. So
Excellent.
We're hoping we don't get too goofy characters for our TV movie.
So
Freedom for Overpasses.
Yeah, I mean, wow. So, again, 426-6515 for
uh-huh.
Amy and Cassandra.
And no hate mail, no hate letters or hate calls, please. We've had enough of those.
You can give the hate calls to Robert at the table downtown. We'll receive your hate messages down there.
Taking the brunt of it.
A free speech bulletin. Yeah, come on down and get in touch with us here because, as you know...
Would you like to talk to Amy some more?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, hold on. Amy, you're next. We got to balance this out. You've just been talking to me too much.
Too much.
Uh-oh, well, she's gone, actually.
She's gone. Well, I have a quote here from Nathan Benjamin, which reads, I'll have Jeff read it to you.
Jeff's here.
I was doing a little research on the internet, and
great.
This was not actually reported in the Santa Cruz Sentinel, but it's a great quote by Nathan Benjamin.
Uh-huh.
You're a very capable attorney.
Yes.
Actually, two quotes. This is interesting. Caltrans appears to have an evolved...